ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're going to discuss the Vaishnava quality of humility. This is Krishna's cosmic trick on me to try to make me humble. There's a saying, if everybody followed their own advice, what a great world it would be. So when you hear me talk about humility, you know that I'm preaching to myself. Okay, that said, here is the verse. And we all know it, at least by the lip. Now it's time to know it by the heart. Trinadapi sunichena Turorapi sahishnuna Amanina manadena Kirtini Aksadahari. So, to introduce that verse, and one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself to be lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. See how easy that verse just rolls off the tongue, as though it's no problem. It's a snap. But Prabhus, we have come here because we're not humble, and now we're trying to recover who we are. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. We have come here willfully. We haven't come here by accident. We didn't just sort of, you know, drop in from the Brahma Jyoti, despite what some people may tell you. When Prabhupada, when our founder Acharya would say the word ignorance, he would spin it in a active way. He wouldn't make it a passive word. How did Prabhupada say the word ignorance? You know?
Ignorance.
It's a willful act. Who knows the how we fell verse in the Bhagavad Gita? There's a verse. People, there's a big debate. How do we fall? It's right in the Gita. And Prabhupada refers to it as how and why we fell. Anybody know? This is our basic preaching book. The Bhagavad Gita is the quintessential of essentials. Shankaracharya said it. He said that. And it sums up every verse. There's 10 billion verses in the Vedas, it says, and the Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses. That means each Gita verse sums up hundreds of millions of Vedic verses. So we got to know this. That's a good guess, but that's Visarga. That's after the fact. And some would say the verse I'm about to quote is also after the fact. At least on one occasion, Prabhupada refers to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 27, as why and how we fell from the spiritual world. 727, okay, Gita lawyers. Loud and clear. Sarvabhut. Means? O scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion. You know, we say delusions of grandeur. Overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This is the original schizophrenia. I hate what I want to be. I hate God and I want to be God at the same time. All schizophrenia proceeds from that. One time, Satsrupa Maharaj told me, one time he asked Swamiji when he was at 26 Agate Avenue, Swamiji, if Krishna's all attractive, why is it so hard to surrender unto him? And without missing a beat, Swamiji said,
because you hate him. Because you hate him. Whoa!
That's our founder Acharya, the cold shower.
Because you hate him.
So, that's the lamentable situation. So humility is just the opposite of that. When we become truly humble, we actually just want to serve Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami introduces this Trinadapi verse in Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita. It comes in the Adi Lila, chapter 17, Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. It starts with 1727. To chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor. But one should offer others all respectful obeisances. 28. A devotee engaged, excuse me, that was 26. 27. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance. Means forbearance, synonym, tolerance. Forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. What do the t-shirts say, or what do the bumper stickers say? I don't get mad, I just get even. This is our slogans in the material world. I don't get mad, I just get even. You know, it's all about revenge in the material world, right? Text 28. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests. Nor even if it is drying up and dying, does it ask anyone for water. Little purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, this practice of forbearance, Trinadapi Sunichena, is very difficult. Prabhupada's not saying it's easy. But when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. Uh-huh. Why is that? Listen to that line again. But when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops? How is that? Anybody? Raise your hand. How does the quality of forbearance, tolerance, automatically develop just by chanting Hare Krishna? Automatically is a tricky word. It's like if we get in the shower, we automatically get clean if we scrub. In the early days of ISKCON, there was no money for heat, so, you know, or hot water. So I remember in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the archetypal Kali Yuga city, even it's called the Iron City, and even the beer is called Iron City Beer. So there was one devotee who used to get in the cold shower, and he would jump up and down and make like he was scrubbing, and then he'd come out the same, smelling the same as when he went in, because he couldn't take the cold water. Okay, so how is it that just by chanting Hare Krishna we automatically develop the quality of forbearance? That's a little mysterious. Anybody? Well, have you noticed that as soon as you go sit down to chant Hare Krishna, your mind wants to go to the movies? Have you noticed that? Hankering for what it doesn't have, because the mind thinks it's all about having, right? The one who dies with the most toys wins. It doesn't get it, that life is all about being, not about having. So it's hankering, and then it's lamenting at the same time for what is lost. Oh, if I only, if I... So when people would say, Swamiji, what about my mind?
What is the question of mind? Simply hear.
That's no small thing to hear. Simply hear the Hare Krishna mantra. So that's how it automatically develops, when we actually hear the mantra. Chanting more now and enjoying it less? Try hearing. That could be a good ad. I took that from a cigarette commercial when I was a kid. Smoking more now and enjoying it less? Have a Camel. You know, try Camel cigarettes. Chanting more now and enjoying it less? Try hearing. That's how it automatically develops. Prabhupada continues. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately, for a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. That takes forbearance. That takes tolerating the mad mind. Krishna knows this. Krishna understands. You know the verse just before 727? What is it? Oh no, this is 626. Yato, yato, you know? Nischalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyaitad atmanyeva vashyangnayet. From whatever and wherever, yato, yato, yataha, yataha. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature. What does Krishna say? One must certainly withdraw it, bring it back under the control of the self. And it's such a relief, because the mind's always going into these hellish fantasies, you know. Hare Krishna. We know we're chanting attentively when there's nothing else in the mind but Hare Krishna. When you say the mantra, and between the mantras, and above the mantra, below the mantra, you're just surrounded by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And it gets sweet when we actually hear. Kaviraj Goswami continues, thus a Vaishnav should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it, but if nothing comes, a Vaishnav should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. This is the standard of pure devotional service. Don't get discouraged if you think you don't measure up to this. But this is the target. We have to, at least we have a target, right? Step by step by step by step. And instead of obsessing with perfection, we should be focused on direction. If we focus on direction, perfection will take care of itself. Next verse. Kaviraj Goswami says, one should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. Now he's still introducing the verse here. Here's the verse. Again, Trinadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Aksadahari. Here it has Iva. You see both Api and Iva. Translation, one who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, it is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. What is this grass thing? What is it? Why the grass? Janmashtami Guru.
Because so many people and then we don't know, hey,
the grass, that's his service. It's the service is to let everybody walk over him. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying let everybody walk all over you. But that is the mood of a devotee. Yes, and then here's another verse. Has anybody heard Prabodhananda Saraswati Chaitanya Chandramita? It starts with a word that's a cognate of dental and dentists, teeth. It's a hint. Anybody know this verse? Dante. Dante nidhaya chunakam padayor nipatya kritva chakakam shatametadahang bhavimi. And here's the verse, here's the line you hear Prabhupada say, hey sadhava. Hey sadhavaksa kalameva vahaya dura go chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragam. When Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, he says, placing straw between my teeth. Now what is that all about? Why is that so significant? I never knew this until I took a CC class from Kadambakan Maharaj in Mayapur. And he explained why the straw between the teeth. Anybody know? That's what animals do? Okay, so now we're lower than animals. That's what Prabhupada told Cardinal Danielu.
Today's civilized man is lower than the lowest animal.
And he was pointing right at Danielu. He knew. He knew. You're getting warm, but how about Dante? Dante, then placing a straw between my teeth. Because literally, think about this. When we do that, we are literally below the straw in the street because we are here and the straw is here. Whoa. Neat, huh? Okay. Symbolically and literally, lower than the straw in the street. Okay. Now, here is... Okay, let's read the purport to that verse. Prabhupada just gives a little... Anyway, it's great. Purport. The grass is specifically mentioned in this verse because everyone tramples upon it. Thank you, Janmashtami. See, you're right in tune with our founder, Acharya. Yet the grass never protests. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position. Wow, Prabhupada cuts to the quick there. He makes this very prescient and visionary leap from the grass never protesting to this. This is what follows in Prabhupada's mind. You know. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position, being always humbler than an ordinary common man. You know, the Uppsala, have you heard Prabhupada in 1973 at Uppsala, Sweden? Have you heard this lecture? Where he's preaching about the different classes of people, you know, in amidst egalitarian, you know, Scandinavia. It's a real, but Prithu Prabhu gave... He gave a remembrance of this, I think, in this year's tributes book. Yeah. So he was recounting how Prabhupada's talking about different classes. And this didn't fly very well with the students. You know, we're all the same, right? That's why the world's mad. Everybody's trying to be the same materially. It's insane. We're all different materially. The only equality is spiritual. So Prabhupada's talking about first class man, second class man, third class man, fourth class man, you know, the varnas. And so this really angry student raises his hand. And I suppose you're first class, yeah? Is that what you think you are? You know, a really nasty guy. And so Prabhupada said,
no, I am fifth class. I am servant of all the classes.
And the way, you know, I can't reproduce the mood, but the way that guy asked the question and the way Prabhupada responded, he wasn't just saying it as a tactic, he actually felt it and meant it. Everybody was stunned. Because when Prithu told the story, he said as this guy was talking, his German blood was boiling. He wanted to deck the guy. He just wanted to hit him in the head, you know. He wanted to blitzkrieg him. And he said he felt himself getting madder as the guy was going on and on. And then when Prabhupada said, I am sarva, I am fifth class man. Then Prithu was like, you know, everybody, Prithu, the guy who, you know, challenged Prabhupada, everybody was stunned, silence. But that's how a pure devotee thinks. Die. There's another target. Okay. Therefore... Oh no, okay. So here and now Kaviraj Goswami, after quoting Trinadapi verse, here is his ecstasy about this verse. Then he follows up with an ecstatic verse. I gotta read the Bengali. Urva Bahu Kari Kohun Shuna Sarvalok Namasutri Ghanti Para Kante Eshlok. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. So the mantra, the sound, is, he says, is like a thread that you can wear it around your neck for continuous remembrance. Whew. Purport. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning one may commit many offenses which are called Nama Bhas and Nama Parad. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse. Trinada pi suniche na tarori vasa hishnu na. That's the key, Prabhupada says, to clearing the offenses and the inattention and all the, you know, abhas, the shadow. Just think of yourself as a humble servant. That's what the prayer means that Prabhupada told us. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your eternal loving service. One time a devotee asked me, this is way back in 1972. Srinath Prabhu, the late Srinath Prabhu, said, Sureshwar, can you help me? I got something to do. I need your help. I said, okay, let me just get this round out of the way and I'll help you. He said, out of the way? That is the way. What are you talking about? So, that's not the humble chanting, right? One should note in this connection that chanting involves the... Listen to this. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips, as well as the tongue. Prabhupada gets into an articulation lesson here. Even though it's very internal, he's saying to get the internal, you need the external. All right, because they affect each other, the internal and the external. I'll read it again. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips, as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation, with the help of the lips and tongue. You know the story of Shnik and Ram? The Shnik and Ram team, you know, does everybody know that? Did he die or he's dying? I guess he's dying, right? Some devotee, Sadaka, is dying. And then he dies. Is that how it goes? I don't even know how to tell it right. And then as soon as he passes on, these two ghastly creatures appear before him. Who are you? I'm Shnik. I'm Ram. You rang? You called us? What do you mean? I was chanting Hare Krishna my whole life. No, you were chanting Shnik and Ram. Shnik, Shnik, Ram. So Prabhupada didn't say that, but this is what he said, a hissing sound. Something. Something. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung about his neck. Okay, that takes humility to do that, because if we're too proud, we don't want to do that. We just want to do what I want to do, right? Okay, what time is it? I got a few minutes left. I don't think I did anything that Maharaj wanted me to do, but at least we're making little progress. Okay, so... So, on the calendar, every year, we observe a day of a person that, well, we never met any of these great personalities physically, but then there was one whom I met that you didn't meet, and who's that? Jayananda Prabhu. Now, why did everybody love Jayananda Prabhu? Yeah, this is such a qualified person. And what was the key to Jayananda's humility? Since we have so little time. The key to his humility is that before he met Srila Prabhupada, he was suicidal, like many of us, like me. He didn't see any use to being alive. As you may know, he was driving a taxi, which he continued to drive because it was the only way to pay the rent at 518 Frederick Street after he joined. His only solace, he used to say, was getting some ice cream and eating some ice cream once in a while. But So, Jayananda. Then he saw an ad in the San Francisco Chronicle, or might have been the Herald Examiner, for classes, you know, for a Swami. Oh no, he was coming to town, that's right, he hadn't even come yet. And he thought, oh that's right, he had come, okay. So he saw an ad, and he thought, okay, he was about to take his life, he said, I'll, one more try. It's like there was a bar in Vancouver called Hare Krishna's Last Chance Saloon. So they were playing off Hare Krishna. So this was Jayananda, James Kaur. This was his last, he thought this was the last hope.
Hare Krishna.
This was his last hope. So he goes to the storefront and he comes around and he gradually realizes this is the answer to my prayer. And he was so grateful. He was so grateful that he just gave everything from day one, practically. And that's the attitude. That's the key to developing humility, is gratitude. And that's the, if you look in Nectar Devotion, page 91, it's called Expecting the Lord's Mercy, and then Prabhupada purports the famous Tateno kampam sasamikshimano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvang vapurbhir viridhan namaste jive diyomukti pade sadaya bhav. This is a Brahma, Lord Brahma prayer. After Krishna, after the cowherd boy defeated him, Brahma had taken all the cows, calves, and cowherd boys, and Krishna expanded himself, and whoa, so many amazing prayers came after that. So, one who, goes on patiently tolerating the reactions of his past misdeeds, and all the while offering respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God, for this has become his rightful claim. So the attitude of gratitude is the key to being humble. Is the key to being humble and always being in that servant mood. Yeah. Then we're, you know, how do I become humble? Sometimes you hear people ask Prabhupada, you know, how do I become a pure devotee on the tapes? We have to become students of Prabhupada's spoken word as well as the written word, because you get so many applications. How do I become humble? How do I become a pure devotee? And you hear, at least on one occasion, Prabhupada said,
how do you become drunkard?
How do you become a drunk?
By associating with drunks. Then you become first-class drunkard.
Yeah. Because we just reflect our association. We're tiny. We're tiny. And Prabhupada would tell us, advancing in Krishna consciousness is 90% association. We reflect. We say in English, a man is known by the company he keeps. So we desire to serve, and we get good association. We get people who are serious, sincere, and they further purify our desire, and we get even better association. And it's like an upward spiral, all the way to Krishna's lotus feet. And it works the other way too. So everyone loved Jayananda because he thought of himself as everybody's servant, even though he was so qualified. He had a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State, and because he knew how things worked, he was always fixing stuff. Where could you find Jayananda? You could find him under a car or fixing a pipe. Or fixing something, right? Because in those days, especially in the early days, there was no money, so we'd always get these, you know, haunted, cheap rent places. Like I joined the movement in the Boston Temple in 1970. It was a former funeral parlor. I mean, how haunted was that place? So Jayananda, he was always fixing stuff, but he was also giving class, and he was also taking out the garbage. That's how I first met him. It was a Lord Chaitanya festival in the spring of 1973, People's Park, famous park where all the protests, you know, in Berkeley, California in the 60s. And we had this great Lord Chaitanya festival right down Telegraph Avenue, famous Telegraph Avenue. Only it was a peaceful march. And then we ended up, and it was a great festival. And then I didn't know anybody. I was just passing through with Mahatma Prabhu on traveling Sankirtan from San Diego. And then after the festival, there was another festival, the festival of cleaning the place up, People's Park. And Jayananda Prabhu prided himself on leaving the place cleaner than it was when they came. And that's why the police loved us and loved him especially. So he just said, "Hey, Prabhu, you want to help clean up?" I said, "Yeah, let's do it." You know, so we were cleaning up, and he made it like another festival. He was just chanting and laughing and engaging us all, and just, you know, just directing the whole thing. You know, so he's our emblem of humility. And so you still might say, "Oh, I'm not like Prabhupada. I'm not like Jayananda." You know, no, but all we have to just. We can't imitate anybody. We have to be who we are. We are who we are. But just think of it. We are naturally humble. We are spirit soul. And the spirit soul is in a very humble position. If you take one of these graying hairs and you take it out and you split it into 100 parts and you take one of those and you split it again, the Vedas say that's an idea of how small we are. That's a very humble position. And wise people know this, like Sir Isaac Newton, famous physicist. You know, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, and gravity, the apple, and you know, and so, but he was a theist and he was very humble. And so he would say things like, "People praise me for being a great physicist, but I'll tell you something. I know as much about the absolute truth as a little child knows about the ocean by looking at a few shells that wash up on the beach." It's natural when you become wise to be humble. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva shvapakicha pandita samadarshanaham. Janmashtami Prabhu, what does that verse mean? A cow? Right. When I was homeschooling my daughter back in the day, I used to turn the verses into little songs. I remember this one. Listen to this, Chandra. Let's learn this song. The humble sages by knowledge true, with equal vision see me and you, as like a Brahmana dog and cow, an elephant and a dog eater. Wow. That's great, Peter. Do it again. Let's do that again. That's called preaching according to time, place. Okay. What time? Okay. It's 8:30. There's much more we can say, but we're all naturally humble. Because we're all, you know, part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna's so great and we're so tiny, and we just have to be who we are. It's no big deal. But because we've been here for so long, we've just got these delusions of grandeur. Krishna says, deluded, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate, you know. Okay, I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments about humility? Prabhu. I referred to this Tathena Kampam verse. It's on page 91 of the Nectar Devotion. It's under a heading called Expecting the Lord's Mercy. And just think of it. If we're always grateful, no matter what befalls us, you know, if it appears to be so-called good, or so-called bad. Where Prabhupada would say, if you get something that comes your way that appears to be good, you think, "Oh, I don't deserve this. Krishna is so kind. Let me use it in his service." And then if something, you know, you hurt yourself or you get sick or somebody, you know, criticizes you or something, then you say, oh, Krishna, you're so kind. I deserve much worse, you know. So that's the attitude of gratitude. There was a famous Holocaust survivor, Viktor Frankl. You know Viktor Frankl? Famous. He survived, he was either Buchenwald or Auschwitz, one of those. And then he wrote a whole bunch of books after he survived the Holocaust. You know Viktor Frankl, Yadarani. So the first book he wrote was Man's Search for Meaning. And in that book, he said he noticed that when his fellow Jews, if they chose to be terrified and hate their oppressors, you know, the Nazis, then they were more likely to die early. You know, they died faster. But he chose to not hate them, but to pity them. And even he befriended some of them because they saw, some of these guys saw that he wasn't returning their oppression. He was returning hate with love and friendship, you know, offering friendship. So he actually got some, you know, got some breaks from them, and, you know, anyway, he survived. And then the line that sticks with me from Man Was Search for Meaning, when he wrote that book, he said, the last of the human freedoms, the last of the human freedoms, when you're even in a situation like that, where you're stripped naked and you're being gassed, and you're, is the freedom to choose one's attitude. Yeah. To choose one's attitude. And you know what Prabhupada writes in his preface to the Nectar of Instruction? Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the devotee. Wow, that's huge. It's how we choose to respond to life. It's huge. If we respond with gratitude, not just faking it. I mean, okay, maybe you have to fake it to make it, as we say in America. Fake it till you make it, you know. No, but just like Gargamuni said to Prabhupada, I don't feel like bowing down. And Prabhupada said, just bow down, you'll feel it. You know, you just practice. It's as natural for the mind to or the soul. It is as natural for the soul to give as it is for the mind to want to take. And we identify with the mind. And that's a toxic waste dump. You know, we want to leave the mind behind. You know, the next time you sit down to chant your japa, or the next time you just don't invite your mind. You know, my dear mind, you are a party pooper, a wet blanket, a wallflower. You don't want to take part in this japa party, so you're not invited. Goodbye. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and you're not invited. And when you want, when you miss the holy name, then you're invited. Therefore, Krishna says, Udhare ratmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva hyatmano bandhur, atmaiva riparatmana. A man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Ah. What was the question? Now I forgot. Oh. Gratitude. Yeah, if we're grateful, then we'll actually remember the purport of what we're chanting. Oh, Radha, oh, and Krishna, please engage me in your eternal loving service. I just want to say, that's a very humble, that's the natural, that's our constitutional position. But the mind hates it. So don't invite your, disinvite your mind. Remember we had a question? Don't be discouraged when you knee-jerk reflex the wrong way and somebody says something or somebody does something and you lash out, then pull it back. Don't be disappointed. Or you can be disappointed, but be, you know, just a champion is somebody who isn't, he's not always perfect or right, but he knows he recovers quickly. Like the Kung Fu champion, Bruce Lee. Somebody said to him once, your moves are so perfect. He said, you don't know. I'm always making mistakes, but I recover quickly. So one thing I found that's very conducive for humility is it just, and this can be taken in the wrong way, but give yourself a challenge that you can't humanly do. Like I'm traveling around the ISKCON world now when I'm not teaching in Mayapur or at the Krishna House in Gainesville, Florida. That's my new American base. With a seminar promoting Prabhupada's preeminent position in ISKCON. It's such an important topic. It's such a weighty subject. And I'm like a cartoon character, trying to deliver something that's very important. So it's hopeless, how can, Sureshwar the cartoon help the ISKCON culture move more toward not just saying, I mean, do we really mean it? We just said it, Who knows what this means in Bengali? I mean, there's the first challenge. It's not even any Bengalis in the house? Oh, okay. I mean, are you Bengali? No. Do you know what, then you tell us, Prabhu, when we say, Chakudan diloye janme janme prabhu se. What are we saying? He opens my darkened eyes. And then janme janme prabhu se. He is my Lord, birth after birth. Do we mean that? Do we know what it means, number one, because it's not our native language? And then even if we know what it means, do we believe that? Yeah, our founder Acharya established his murti in all temples, and he had everybody for all time sing, "He opens my darkened eyes with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth." Do we get that? Do we know what it means? Hey. So, what was the question? Okay, where do we go from here? Yeah, just give your... So, this... this seminar is like, every time I give it, it's such a challenge because I know I'm not up to the task. So I just beg Prabhupada, even though I'm a cartoon character, Prabhupada, somebody's got to do this. So can you please? Nacho, not, how did Prabhupada pray on the boat in Boston Harbor? Nacho, nacho, Prabhu, make me dance as you like. Yeah, these people... When Prabhupada was approaching the coast, what did he see? A&P, supermarket chain, and then he saw unalloyed steel. Right? This is what he's up against. Yeah, the steel-like hearts. So I have no power to do this. So take on something that's really enthusing. We have to be involved in something bigger than ourselves. I mean, really, practically, day to day, not just theoretically. Because then we'll have to pray. That's why, not everybody, their ultimate service can be distribute books, but that when you are out, in the ocean, the Bhava Sindhu with Prabhupada's books, you got to pray. Because there's no other way they're going to take a book or do anything. Okay, so we're 2 minutes till. I'm trying to manage. What was the Vaishnav angle? What is it? Oh, you mean another? Okay, yeah.
There was a custom that was showing other
humility, other submissiveness. And just see the nature of that punishment. I mean, that's the true spirit of punishment, it's purifying. When the king, when the Vedic king would punish, he would do something to purify. It wasn't just vengeance. It wasn't just ill. It wasn't returning ill will with ill will. That very act of doing that, eventually, I mean, to do that, the person actually had to discover some long lost quality of humility. That's great. Thank you. Nice to see you again. I was just in your neck of the woods. You're from Croatia. No, you're from Slovakia. You're from Serbia, that's right. I was just in Zagreb, Croatia. Okay, so how to do it day to day, moment to moment? Well, just chant. It's like the Jesus prayer, right? Kyrie eleison. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, please have mercy on me. So we can say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your eternal loving service. Thank you. It's great to be back in Radhadesh Dham. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.